Today I want to talk to you about, and the reason why we're saying I surrender is because what I want to talk to you today about is total surrender. We live in a society today that, in an American society, where it's a large consumer society. And we live in a society that where everything is easy, where at a touch of a button we can get any kind of information we want. We can shop online. We don't have to go to the store. We have instantaneous everything, and everything comes easy. And what happens is we bring that mentality into our walk with Christ. And we think that once we bow our knee and we say, Jesus, you are Lord, everything is canceled out and everything is good and okay. And that God is supposed to instantaneously, when we pray, answer every prayer that we have. And when we pray with tears and when we pray with sincerity, God is supposed to go on overdrive and answer our prayers. God's not supposed to teach us patience. He's not supposed to teach us understanding. He's not supposed to teach us how to wait. He's supposed to do what we ask him to do. And when that doesn't happen, we get mad. We get irritated. We get frustrated with God because he didn't answer our prayers. And we become short-minded about the fact that God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory. And we forget about all of that. Because we have a right now mentality. But Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says this. It says, if anyone would come after me, this is Jesus talking, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily. Everybody say daily. And follow me. I remember in Bible college, and I think I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. There was one of the students got up and he gave a prophetic word to the whole student body during chapel. And he said he had a dream, and that dream was that he was in his dream and there he was carrying a cross, and it was burdensome, it was heavy, it was rugged, it was rubbing his shoulder raw, the side of his face was raw, and he brought it up to this open window, and inside it, this guy comes up to him and he says, can I help you? And he said, yes, I want to exchange this cross for a better cross because it's rubbing me raw. It's chafing me. And he goes, okay. So he comes out around, takes the cross from him, puts it away, and he said, we have a place inside for you. Come on and you can pick out whatever cross you want. And so the guy comes in and he goes through this huge warehouse and there's thousands and thousands and ten thousands of crosses. And he said, sir, without any question, pick what cross you want. So he began to look carefully and he chose the cross over in the corner. And he said, I'll take that cross right over there. And the guy looked at him puzzled and he paused and he said, I'm confused about your selection. And he said, well, why? I think this cross would be a lot easier for me to bear, for me to carry. And he said, sir, the reason why it confuses me, it's because it's the same cross that you brought in. It's the same cross that you have brought in. You see, whenever we step back and look at the grander picture of all the crosses that everyone has to bear, our cross doesn't seem too hard. But if we would step back and look at the bigger picture of what Christ is asking us to do, he is asking us to bear our cross, not someone else's cross, your cross. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus makes it clear that if we are going to follow him, a casual, no strings attached arrangement isn't a possibility. You can't come after Jesus without denying yourself first. Amen? The phrase deny yourself isn't just the idea of saying no to yourself. The idea here is that you do not even acknowledge or recognize your own existence. Well, you see what happens when a preacher is off one Sunday, he just comes with both barrels. All right? And this is what it's talking, denying yourself, meaning it takes yourself out of the equation. It says that when you surrender, you give up your rights. If you've ever been arrested, and you don't have to raise your hand in this room if you've ever been arrested, but if you've been arrested, the cops tells you to put your hands up, and when you put your hands up, that signifies that you have surrendered all of your rights. You surrender. And you put your hands behind your back, and you have to go where they tell you to. And when you surrender to the Father, you're throwing up your hands and you're saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done in my life. And I got to tell you, that is no easy thing. It's hard to die to yourself. It's very difficult to die to yourself and to put aside your legitimate needs. Not your wants, but your legitimate needs. I told of a story, I told Courtney the other, last night, we were talking about God and miracles and everything else, and I told of a story of, I was sitting in a service one time, and I had a massive, a pinched nerve right here in my shoulder, and I said, God, there was an evangelist speaking, and I said, God, would you stop that evangelist right where he's at and just heal me right now? And I was young in the faith, just got born again, and man, I was really hurting, legitimately hurting. I was about to get up and leave, and that evangelist stopped immediately. And he said, someone has a pinched nerve in their left shoulder. God is healing that. And I stepped up. I said, that's me. And he said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, it stopped. It was gone, instantaneously healed. So the very next night, the evangelist said, hey, if there's any testimonies that would like to be told, please step up and testify. On the other side of the sanctuary, there was an older lady. She stood up and said, I would like to give a testimony. So they brought her the mic, and she said, last night you stopped your sermon and said, if there's anybody in here that has a pinched nerve in their left shoulder, to stand up. God's healing you. That young man stood up so quickly that I didn't have time, because I was suffering for months with this, suffering bitterly. And she said, so I didn't have time to stand up. And so instead of being angry, instead of going, well, God, you know, that should have been mine, she said, instead of doing that, I reached my hand, because I was standing right behind this young man, I reached my hand forward and prayed for him. And when I stretched my hand forward, God healed me instantaneously. See, what happens is that whenever we deny our legitimate needs, God comes through for us. Amen? Some of us are walking around with legitimate needs in our life, but are refusing to worship God because God hasn't come through. Let me say to you this. Worship God through your pain. Worship God through your dismay. Worship God and serve God through those questions that have not been answered yet, and watch the God that supplies all of our needs come through for you. Because we need to learn as believers that even though we have legitimate needs, we have got a cross to bear. And whether that cross chafes us or whether it's easy, we are to follow Christ with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? So the question that is before us today is, how do we deny ourselves in a culture that says it's all about us? Matthew 19, 16 helps us with this question. There's a man who was identified as a rich young ruler. He came up to Jesus and he said this. He said, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus says to him, sell all of your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me. Many people want to make this story out to be just solely about money. All right? But it's not. It's about following Jesus. It's about following him. See, Jesus put this man at a crossroad. Either follow Jesus or follow your stuff, because you can't do both. Amen? We are all standing at a crossroads today. Each and every one of us are at a crossroad, and yours looks different than mine. What is easy to you is gut-wrenching to me. What takes you a second takes me days. What takes you one day takes me a month. We're all standing at different places in our walk with Christ, and each and every day we have a decision to make to honor God or dishonor Him by our behavior. To bring Him glory, maybe through our suffering, through our pain, through our dismay, through our hurt and our stress. To either praise God or completely turn our back on Him, because He has obviously let us down. Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. Tell your neighbor, you're going to have trouble. That's not a negative confession, church. That's not lack of faith by saying that. Jesus said it. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. Amen? He authored faith. He came up with it. And Jesus is saying, you are going to have trouble in this life. In this life, raise your hand if you've had trouble. Hey, even us kids, all of us raise our hands up in here. Because all of us have had trouble. But Jesus said, you will have trouble. Now thank God He didn't just say, you're going to have trouble in this life and walk away. He said, but take heart. I have overcome the world. This is the one that created the world, that spoke the heavens into existence, that formed you with His very hands, that come up with the concept of who you are. He said, I have overcome the world just for you. We need to understand that in our life, we are in a state of denial. We have got to be in a state of denial. I'm not talking about of reality. I'm talking about of who we are. We have got to deny ourselves daily, take up our cross, and follow Him. And the rich young ruler was in this spot. He came up with them, and he had all in himself goodness. All that he had done, he considered good. Hey, I'm good. What other good thing must I do? And Jesus rocked his world by saying, sell everything you have. Go give it to the poor. Notice Jesus didn't say, go sell all you have and then come give it into Jesus Christ's ministry worldwide. He could have very easily did that. But he was teaching this guy about denying yourself. And we look and we say, as a point of interest, after Jesus told this rich young ruler to sell all that he has, give it to the poor, then you'll have riches in heaven, come and follow me. Jesus never told one more person after that to come and follow him. This guy had a chance of a lifetime to be a disciple of Christ, and he turned it down because he loved stuff. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not knocking him, because he was rich. He had a lot of money. He had a lot of influence. He had everything he wanted. And he thought that Jesus was going to give him some noble quest, that he could go and rescue some damsel or something, or give some money over here or some money over there, and he would be good. But Jesus got down to the heart and root of this man and put him at a crossroad. And he let that individual make his own choice. The Bible says he walked away with his head down because he was very rich and influential. The author of the book, Not a Fan, told a story of a trip to Africa. Went into this tribal camp and he spoke about Jesus and spoke about the good news. He told of a story of two young men that had raised their hand for salvation, to follow Christ. And a day later, after that meeting was over with, he was back in a neighboring village, and he was getting his stuff ready to leave. And those two young men came up to him, and they were talking in their native language, and he couldn't understand, so he got the interpreter. And they had two huge sacks on their shoulders. And he said, please tell me what they're saying. I remember them. They gave their life to Christ last night. What's going on? And they started talking to the interpreter, and the interpreter talked to this guy, the author of Not a Fan. And he said, these guys are saying that the decision that they made to follow Christ ostracized them from their village. And so they're no longer welcome. And their family kicked them out. And all they have in their whole lives is what's in these sacks. These young men knew that the decision that they were about to make was going to place them outside of their village, place them outside of their family. They knew that going into accepting Christ. That, my friend, is not a fan, that's a follower. Someone that said when they raised their hand, they knew that they were going to be ostracized. They knew they were going to be kicked out of their village, all for the sake of Christ. Followers are willing to deny themselves and say, I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus over family, money, friends, career, over what people think about me, even if it costs me everything, I will follow Christ. When we sacrificially deny ourselves for Christ's sake, it is the clearest evidence of our commitment to Him. You know, there's a study by, how many of you guys are familiar with the Barna Group? They do all kinds of surveys and polls and so forth. There's a Barna survey group, they reported that 65% of 16 to 42-year-olds in America have made a personal commitment to Jesus. 65% between the ages of 18 and 42 in America have made a personal commitment to Jesus, and it's still important to them. They also showed that out of the 65%, only 23% of these people believe that sex outside of marriage is wrong. And only 13% said that getting drunk is a sin. In other words, 65% say they committed to Jesus, but not in every area of their lives. Jesus never left open the option of selective commitment. He didn't leave that option open. Now, this doesn't mean that you will follow Jesus perfectly. It doesn't mean you're going to follow Christ perfectly. But see, what we have in America is we're real good at doing this, compartmentalizing our lives, right? We'll compartmentalize our family, work. We'll compartmentalize church, our commitment to Christ. All of these different things, we'll compartmentalize what happened at camp. And we'll put that in a box and we'll save that for later when we're down or whatever. We'll take that box out and we'll open it up and out flutters butterflies and everything else and all those fuzzy feelings and then we're okay. But God is wanting this. He wants to break open every single box that we have in our closet. He wants to break it open and infiltrate every box that we have. Why? Because He has the capacity to be Lord over every single thing in our life and bring healing to our lives. Amen? And the only way that that happens is by someone that has been transformed and renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit and have been convinced that Jesus is enough. You see, we are a society of how we feel. We base our lives on how we feel and not upon the Word of God. We treat the Word of God as if it is a cure-all, and we go to it and we close our eyes and we put our finger on a page and open it up and say, God, you failed me. What I'm needing from you, I open the Bible up and it's not there. What do I do? We need to get past how we feel and be deliberate about our walk with Christ. Amen? See, the rich young ruler wanted to say to Jesus without He wanted to basically follow Jesus without a commitment and denying himself. He wanted it all without denying himself first. Jesus has taught us the importance of denying ourselves and following him. The Bible says that we are to be a slave for Christ, a bond slave for Christ. When Peter, the Apostle Peter, began to write his second letter, he didn't introduce himself as saying, as his title, quote, Peter, a best friend of Jesus, present at the Mount of Transfiguration, and preacher on the day of Pentecost. Although that could have been his title, that wasn't how he addressed himself. He addressed himself as this, Simon Peter, a slave to Christ Jesus. John, Timothy, and Jude all gave themselves the same title, a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. James, how many of you guys know James is the brother of Jesus? He lived with him. He grew up with him. It's kind of hard to convince your brother that you're the son of God, right? I mean, that's a pretty tough sell right there. But James, he doesn't begin his letter by saying, I'm the half-brother of the Son of God. He begins by saying this, James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. His own brother. How many of you guys know who Bill Bright is? Bill Bright is the founder of the Campus Crusade for Christ. They call it CRU now, I believe. He wrote a tract called The Four Spiritual Laws that printed more than 2.5 billion copies that went around the world and changed countless millions of lives. He was central in the making of the Jesus film that had been seen by more than 4 billion people and translated into 660 languages around the world. But if you were to visit his gravesite, there are 3 words that are written on his tombstone. Slave for Christ. A slave for Christ. Why would anybody want to be a slave? It's rare, but it does happen. We see in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 15, 16 and 17. I'm not going to read it, but I think it may have it up on the screen. But there's this thing called bond slave. It's basically what happens is that in the Old Testament, if you didn't have enough money to pay back your lender, you had to go as a slave into his household for 6 years. At the end of that 6 years, you were set free. But if you wanted to, if that owner was good to you, if you felt like you were respected by him, if he took good care of you, if he didn't treat you like a slave but was good to you, you could in turn become a bond slave. And what that means is that you stay under your own choosing because your life is better off under his leadership, and you become a bond slave. And the disciples, all of them, called themselves a bond slave to Christ. Because they knew that under his leadership, under his lordship, their lives would never be the same. They denied their own lives and they submitted unto Christ. Now in closing, there's a story about this guy's name is Millard. And his wife, Linda Fuller. This guy became a millionaire at 29 years of age. He had everything. He gave his wife everything. He spared her nothing. He was good to her. Both of them were believers. One day he came home from the office and found a note on the dresser. And it said this. I'm leaving. Everything that you have given me, I have come up empty. The thing that you have yet to give me is yourself, and no things can rise up to you, compare to you. And so he had a revelation. He went and he found his wife in a hotel crying and weeping and crying out to the Lord. And he went down and he got on his knees and he repented before God and before his wife. And God spoke to them that day to sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Millard and his wife Linda Fuller began to pray and say, Lord, we surrender all that we have. Our possessions are yours. We start over. I trust you. That next morning, they got up and they went to this little Baptist church and they went in and they gave God praise and glory and they worshiped the Lord in that church, and the pastor happened to be there and he went in and he talked to this couple, and the couple, Millard and Linda, told them the story of what had happened and that they had put their riches and everything before God, and they felt God tell them to sell all that they had. And so that's what they're doing. They're giving up all their possessions to follow Christ. And the pastor goes, listen, God's not requiring that you sell all that you have. He's not requiring that hard thing. And he was trying to, he wasn't a bad pastor. He was just trying to help bring some stability to what was going on. And they said, no, we've made up our mind. We've heard from God and we're selling it all. We're selling all and we're following Christ. This minister didn't understand that they were giving up money and the things money could buy. They were just giving up. Period. They were just giving up. They later, some of you may have heard their ministry called Habitat for Humanity. They gave up everything. Everything. Gave it away. They started this little thing called Habitat for Humanity. And because of it, thousands and thousands of people know what it feels like to own their home, a home for the first time. You see, church, whenever we give up everything, God comes in and he gives us everything. We don't give up anything. We get more than we could ever possibly give up. In closing, I want to read a story to you. I want to encourage you, if you're looking for a devotion, buy this book. It's called The Live Dead Journal. And it's about missions. And at the end of every story, it's only like 2 pages, there's a people group at the end of it. And it tells you a brief little snippet about that people group. And then they encourage you to pray for that people group. So look for it on Amazon. It's an amazing book. I'm going through it now. There is a woman her and her husband and her young family are wanting to go to Somalia to be missionaries. And it reads this: this chapter for day 10 and 11 are written by a couple who had worked among Somalis in the United States for 15 years. They now are assigned to Somalia. I asked the wife if she really understood the cost and implications of living in Somalia. Was she ready to die? Was she ready to live the rest of her life a widow? Was she ready to leave her 3 children as orphans? What followed are some excerpts from her response. She said, "You ask how I feel about the dangers and responsibilities of harm and death that could be involved in following through on this call." She quoted Matthew 16:25 that says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." She said, I feel that God is doing something greater in our lives. I dream to live a long, peaceful, and joyful life in Somalia, to lead and to establish, to rise with the empowerment of Jesus to the unbelievable task ahead. I intend to make a home that exalts Christ in all things. I intend to lead my children in joy. I intend to love my husband here long and well. But she goes on to say this: I do hope God isn't leading us to die in Somalia at the hands of hatred. But I will not be ruled by that possibility. And I feel I would be a fool to think that my life anywhere is free from death. I hope that God's work in my heart is not a sign of what we must face. Even so, I see it as a terrible, meaning huge and strong, privilege to serve God among the lost. I surrender with great joy to His plan, trusting, however, His plan to sow our lives. Everybody stand this morning. Today, the count of following Christ, the cost of following Christ, has got to be made known. I stand before you today and every Sunday trembling at the thought that I may fail you and that I might be teaching you a soft gospel. And I bring to you every single Sunday something that is birthed out of my heart and given to me by the Holy Spirit to enable you to know what the cost is in following Christ. That cost is hard. It's difficult. That cost isn't cheap. It cost Jesus everything. And when you follow Christ and you kneel your knee and you accept Jesus, the walk isn't over. The story isn't over. Each and every day there is a cross to be borne. There is a decision to be made to either give in to your pain, to give in to your circumstances, to give in to the so-called truth that everyone's saying to you, or to follow the way, the truth, and the life. It is important that we as a body connect with one another, because we can't walk with Christ alone. We must depend on one another. Not that our brothers and sisters walk it for us, but that we walk with each other. And today, my call is to walk in a state of denial each and every day. A state to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow Christ daily. Following Christ isn't always pretty. It's hard. Sometimes you have to praise God through gritted teeth. Sometimes you have to say, God, I trust you, through tears and pain. Sometimes you have to say, God, I trust you as I give my offering, as I give my tithe. I don't know how I'm going to pay my electric bill, but God, I'm trusting you. We as Americans have got to get over what we see and how we feel and get into what is truthful, into the Word of God. And the only way that we can do that is to die a terrible death to ourselves. Take up our cross and follow Him. Be bond slaves to Christ, knowing that at any time we could turn our backs and go our own way. But we choose daily to take up our cross and follow Him. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, today I come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would begin to touch the hearts of those that are maybe vacillating today to make a decision. I pray, Father, that you would encourage and strengthen them. Father, you would meet them in their hour of need. And when they perceive you to be late, when they perceive you to be unfaithful, when they perceive you to not care, I pray they worship you anyway, because you are still God. I recall a story of Jesus who told, someone came to Jesus and told about Lazarus, that he was dying and Jesus was delayed 4 days. Jesus loved Lazarus, but he was delayed 4 days. And finally he came up and they said, don't even bother, Lord. He's dead. He stinks already. You're too late. You're late. You're late. Jesus came to the tomb where Lazarus lay. And he spoke his word into his deadness. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that he came up out of the grave and was made alive again. Today, you can be made alive again. It's not too late. With his spoken word, he can speak life into the dead places in your life. If you need prayer this morning, if you're having trouble denying yourself, which we all do, if you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, today is your day. Put all your questions aside, put all your fear aside, and say, Lord, today, today, I trust you. Today, I give in to you. Today, if you're considering following Christ, if you want to say, Pastor, today, I want to accept Christ as my Lord, my Savior. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Can I have some altar workers up here? Today, if you have raised your hand, if you say, Pastor, today I want to make Christ my Lord. Today, I'm done with worrying. I'm done with doing it my way. Today, I'll make a decision to follow you. And I want you to come. We're going to have some folks that will pray with you. If you're saying, Pastor, I'm a believer, but I'm really struggling in my faith. I've been praying for certain things, and it just doesn't seem to be coming through. I'm actually kind of getting angry with God, and I need prayer. I want you to come this morning. Come. Come this morning. Don't wait. Come. Come today. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I want you to come. If that's you, come this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you, and I thank you for the word of God that was spoken. I thank you, Father, that we have a decision to make. We have an obligation in our lives to do this, to take up our cross daily and come and follow you. To do what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Father, I pray that you would strengthen the weary here today. God, that you would comfort those who are in need of comforting. You would bring healing for those who are in need of healing. That you would restore in dead places those that feel death in their life. May they receive healing and life again. May they be restored and be made new in Jesus' name. God, may you inhabit our lives. May you transform us as we trust you. Would you pray with me today, this morning? Pray with me. Say this. Say, Father God, I come to you today in total submission. And I give you my life. Use it as you will. Use my hurts. Use my flaws. Every part of me, I give to you. Forgive me of my sin. I make you today Lord of my life. Father, I pray that you would strengthen each and every person that spoke those words. God, may they be strengthened. May they be renewed. May they be made whole through the power of the Holy Spirit. May you bring peace to their life. And may they honor you by denying themselves and taking up their cross and following you daily. Father, I thank you for grace, and I thank you for wisdom, and discernment and peace over each and every soul in this room. I thank you, Spirit of God, for transforming lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, if you need prayer, if you prayed a prayer to accept Christ, if you are struggling and you still need prayer, these altars are open. These workers are here, and they're willing to pray and to be with you, to counsel you, to pray with you, all right? So I want to thank you so much for coming this morning. I pray God's blessing upon you as you go about your way. If you need prayer, come today. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Just be reverent for those that are praying. And you guys have a great day, all right? Stick around and talk with one another. Visit with one another, all right? God bless you today.